go to Hebrews 4. I kind of like doing this better than now I just do whatever I feel like talking about instead of, never mind. Well, when I'm trying to go verse by verse. Shut up. Now I'll get more comments about how I shouldn't tell people to shut up. I did. I actually did. I sent them back an email. Chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. Verse 9. Everybody there? Except Kayala. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. All right, I can read. Of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
What does labor into the rest mean?
It means that's the most important thing you have to do. Is to find a way to enter into that rest.
What is the origin of labor?
I don't know.
Does that mean work into the rest?
It means do whatever you have to do to experience that rest and stay there. Now, this is why, you know, if you have anything to do, then you need to do it. That's what it means. If you have any places to go, then you need to go there. If you have anything to accomplish, that's what you need to try to accomplish. That's what it means to labor to enter into the rest until there are no more if-onlys or what-ifs or maybes. You understand that? Does that clarify it? Ms. Kayala?
Yeah, but it's too early to go here.
It seems like a contradiction in terms.
It is a contradiction in terms. That's
but it isn't spiritually. Spiritually, it means that you do everything that your mind wants to do. You're way out there. You just push everything to the limit. Because otherwise you'll try to circumcise yourself, and then you'll just be a muzzled mad dog.
Right. And if you push those things,
then they won't have any more.
You end up getting chastised.
Then there's no more. No, it's not a matter of chastisement. It's a matter of the predicate of the human race is that everything is vain and empty and futile and without purpose.
Right.
So, but you can't know that
unless you go run it.
Unless you run the rabbit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Now,
but if you see the end of all that stuff, trying to go out there and do that, be successful or whatever, you see the end of it.
There's two ways you can know something. You can know it either by experience, or you all yourself, you have to go do it to find out it's empty and vain, or you can do it by empathy. Empathy means that you can understand it because someone else that you know has gone through that and seen the end of it. If that weren't the case, then we would all have to be, you know, we'd have to be like the early guys that lived 900 years. Because it would take you that long to go push all of the vanities, all the ideas and plans and goals and ambitions and things of your own mind. But by empathy, you can do it much speedier.
Yeah, but some people don't learn that way.
Well, everybody learns that way some of the things.
To a degree.
Remember the three graces that God has given us. But the most boring thing to me is to hear somebody philosophize about scripture and about the meaning of something and what they think something means because they haven't experienced it. And so it's just hot air. Oh, this is what I think about that. Well, who cares what anybody? It doesn't mean anything until you have either by empathy or experience seen it through the end of it. Otherwise, you just live in this PlayStation world.
Nice.
That's good. I like
one.
God, I really needed that affirmation. Thank you, Ronnie.
You
I don't know what I'd do without
you.
What?
Do you know what a PlayStation is?
I know it's a video game.
Excellent.
All right.
So looking up for you.
He knows it by empathy.
I've never played a video game.
He's seen the end of PlayStation.
You see the end of that?
But I have seen the end of all that crap because that's what Gary Buckner was hooked on and Tom Brooks was hooked on.
They were hooked on PlayStation?
Well, game things, you know, whatever they are. We got to do something about your eye.
You know what? It's just because it's too early. If I don't,
it's really hard for me to look at.
Oh, really?
Can you
by all means, let me meet your needs. For Christ's sake.
He was in all points tempted as we are. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now let's go and see the reverse of that. Go to Luke 22. Before I was so rudely interrupted.
Oh, yeah.
Just one verse. Verse 28. He's talking to his disciples at the end of his ministry. He said to them, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptation." Now, we know that he, as Son of Man, was tempted in all points as we are. But the question is, do you continue with him in his temptation, and what is the difference? And this, yes, this is the meaning of conducting your life. Anything else you need to do? You can go brush your teeth while we're here?
Or just keep talking with the regular stuff.
I'm with you.
You here?
Yeah.
You back? You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. Now, the temptation of Christ was very simple. And that's to do, after his baptism, he did nothing based on his own mind or his own experience or what he saw. In every point of the way, he yielded meaning. Have you really looked at the Bible and seen all these people ask him questions and it doesn't, it has no, what he answers them appears to have nothing to do with what they asked?
He wasn't a very good listener.
No. Actually, he was a very good listener because he listened to the source of the question rather than the question.
Yeah, but the problem is they didn't know what their source was. They were just asking the question.
A lot of people were just asking questions to be heard.
I mean, that's what happens when you go philosophic. When you go that route, it's because you've got all these hidden agendas behind it. So you start going, well, what about this? Well,
all right. Can you conceive of a way of living in which you never reacted to anything? You didn't react to someone's praise. You didn't react to someone's condemnation. You didn't hurry through places that you're not wanted or stay in places where you're wanted. You didn't respond to people based on what the census said. You didn't respond to any situation that you can possibly be in life by what the situation apparently demanded. Now, this is what it means to continue with him in his test. His test was to never lean on his own arm of understanding or his own sensory perception for any situation that arose. Does that communicate? He always his faith was instant. In other words, it was always living in that now moment. And the now moment was always in 100% dependence on the Father. Now, let's look and see if we can understand what this means. Let's go to John 5. He's at the pool of Bethsaida, and it's a Sabbath day. And this is his whole deal where he healed a guy, and the guy didn't know who he was. And, well, let's go up there. I hate to have to read all this stuff. So I'm not going to. Let's just start in verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, in other words, he healed somebody on the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, he didn't have an internal television set. Whatsoever he saw the Father do, that's what he did. And it was not, there was no half second or 1 second or 1 minute delay. It was that instant obedience. It was so complete, and he trusted it so completely that even when his response made absolutely no sense to anyone around him, that's what he did. Now, this is what it means to continue with him in his test, that you make no judgment, have no response. You never react to anything. You act based on, the question is, well, how in the hell do I do that? How do I know what the Father? I don't see the Father doing anything. I see, but by faith, because He is in you and He is your life, then, and again, the only way. You remember this, there's two words for deny in the New Testament. One is deny yourself, pick up your cross. That's aprodeomai, and it means absolute abandonment, taking no thought of or about or for yourself. The other word for deny is when Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, that word deny is the word in English that would mean a dam. And so if you have anything between you and the Father, if there's any tradition of men, if there's any thing that you've done, if there's any cause and effect, if there's any the way a thing works, then you are denying him before men, and he will deny you before the Father. Now, how do you do this? It's like a dam, as I said. When the dam first breaks, there's a whole bunch of dead elephants and crap behind the dam. But out of you, the promise is, out of you shall flow rivers of life-giving water. Now, but when the dam first breaks, that breaking of the dam is the first half of Jesus' name. Yesh, in Hebrew. Yeshua is his Hebrew name, and Yesh is the process of what happens when the dam breaks. It's poof. But you've spent a lifetime with a dam behind you. And that dam, then, you've gotten in trouble, or you've gotten... You know, I say that some of you have conflict avoidance. Everybody has conflict avoidance. Everybody wants to avoid conflict. As humans, that's the way we couldn't have a society if that didn't happen. But in the kingdom of God, conflict avoidance is denying him. And so all of this experience you've had your whole life of habit patterns and thought processes and the stimuli of everything that's happened to you in the past when you were a little kid and got in trouble for speaking honestly, all of these things are there still, and that's the dam that's keeping you from life, and it's keeping you from peace. And so part of the labor to enter into his rest is the courage just to be, just to say, without any delay, without any thought, without any concern with how it comes out.
Yeah, as you're speaking, I think in me the dam is something like, let me figure out what he's saying, so I can respond.
Yeah, and that's totally, and that is the definition of sin, because you're trying to control your own. You're trying to have the right response. You're trying not to get in trouble. Whatever the concern is, it is sin, because you are denying Him before men. Because the only hope you have is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Any other hope is ridiculous. And that's what experiences should have told you, or by empathy certainly should have told you. And so the whole process, this whole being of walking in Him and Him in you has to have as this component, this excitement, this boom. Now, everything in you will say no to this. But I promise you, the freedom that happens when that dam breaks, and the peace that passes all understanding, and it's the place of joy and freedom and everything else. But it has to lose all of the governor, all of the governors that you've, I mean, you can't believe there are probably hundreds of thousands of governors in that neuron system of your brain. They got to go away so that you can be the Father worketh. Whatever I do, whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. It has to be instant. There can't be there's this tape down there called Satan's Half Second, and it goes into great detail about this. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about?
But
you have to do it now.
No shit.
It's not something that's difficult to do.
Not for you.
Not for anyone. That's what makes you have tension and nervousness and anxiety, is because if this internal thing that keeps going on, that never stops. Let's look some more. Let's go up to verse, same chapter. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. I can't read. That's what I can't see. Yeah, read verse 30.
I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not His word abiding in you, for whom he had sent him, you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life.
Okay. I don't know how to explain this, because it has the temptations of Christ. And you continuing with him in his temptations, they have no, there's no home for it in human nature. Human nature has no concept of what this whole idea means of continuing with him in his temptation. It's from my perspective, where we as a body are right now, this is the most critical thing that can exist for you. So that this idea of constantly this governors that are on you that define and control how and when and you and how you will respond to anything, and then Jesus had 5,000 followers, and he just fed them all miraculously. And then he said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." Then 4,988 followers left him. The minute, and this is the teach, the minute about this is that the evil one, your mind's function, is to try to shift your point of view from God to man. And the minute your point of view shifts, then you've become of no value to God. And this is seen over and over. If I yet please men, I cannot be the servant of God. Jesus, you know, when he said he was going to die.
John, Harry is laying out here on the ground. He needs to talk to you.
Laying out on the ground.
Spend some more time on this. Just search the scriptures about this and see. The minute your point of view goes from God to even to the benefit of man or to benefit of you, then it could be you lose your value to God.
So you don't receive the testimony of man. That's also your own testimony. Or
your own testimony is a testimony.
Yeah, anybody else's, what they say or what you say about it. Or think about it.
Anybody have anything else? Anybody have any questions? Anybody believe this is possible?
No.
I'm thinking about what Jeremiah said about rooting out, pulling down, tearing down all those things.
But it has to start in you.
Yeah,
in me. Judgment, my first. And again, that's why somebody's going to want to, why don't you study the book of Revelation? It's about this. The plagues and the vials and the seven angels, they all have to come in and you have to experience it internally so that finally there can be silence in the temple. And finally you understand what redeeming the time is, because the seventh angel has stood and said, "The mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more." And the whole process of seeing is that's what's what all of what you read in Revelation. How many times the angel said to John, "Come see, come see." We're constructed so that what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you do. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's the whole idea of what it really means at the gut level to continue with him and his test. And it's huge. John's coming back. All righty. Anybody have anything that's there? Remember bubbling forth?
No.
All right, take a big guy.